appreciate folks being here, especially those that are sick. Coming right on and being in God's house this morning. I tell you, when folks get sick and the body's ailing, it makes it difficult to worship God. It makes it difficult on the preacher. But nonetheless, we're to be instant in season, out of season, aren't we? And we'll do our best this morning to bring what God's laid on our heart. I'll try to get you home where you get in the bed and get some rest quickly as I can this morning. Okay, pray for Brother Cater Dockery. He's going to, looks like they're going to have to operate on Cater. And we want to remember him in prayer. They're trying to reach some decision on that, on what type of surgery they're going to do and so forth. We want to remember to pray for him. You know, there was a time when I was years ago, I'll put it that way, when I poked fun at men that said they had back problems. I always thought it was a put-on, you know. But I'm going to tell you, when I started ailing myself, and the doc told me I was going to have to go under the knife to get some relief, I learned right quick that back problems are no laughing matter. They're not a joke, friend. Because they get you down in your legs and stuff, and you know, you're down all over. If you can't walk, you're just down. That's all they are to it. And I've been there. I've experienced what he is, and maybe even more degree. I've had a spinal fusion on my lower back. And where he's got a ruptured disc, I never did have one. I was born without it, born that way. And it's rough. And I sympathize with him. So you pray for him, if you would. Song of Solomon, chapter number 4, okay? Song of Solomon and chapter number 4. And let's begin reading this morning in verse number 1. Try to memorize the chapters as you go. Read them. I got up Saturday morning, about 2 o'clock Saturday morning, and read through the whole book of Solomon. About 2 o'clock Saturday morning, went back to bed, slept a while, and got up. And you read it and study it. Try to hide it in your heart as much as you possibly can. The Bible said, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, wherein there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Let's look to Him in just a moment of prayer. My Father, I'm grateful and thankful this morning for the privilege that's mine to have a copy of the Word of God. So many in the world today denied of that privilege. I thank You, Lord, that You've given it into our hands, that we might read it, that we might be saved by it, that we might believe it and love it, that it might comfort our hearts and strengthen our lives, that it might give us direction all the days of our life. I pray that You'd help the preacher this morning as I do my best in my own feeble way to declare all the counsels of God. And Lord, nothing will be accomplished except the Holy Ghost of God come to breathe on every word that's said, quicken it to our hearts this morning. Save old sinners. And Lord, may Your people today, Father, realize that they have a blessed place within the bosom of Christ, that Thou hast set Thy love upon us and saved us by the grace of God and made us clean, that there is no spot in us. Lord, that You love us with a love that shall never separate us from Thee. I pray now that you'll bless every heart. May I find liberty and power to preach the Word of God this morning. Help that one, Lord, that may be distraught, discouraged this morning. Encourage, I pray, thy people today. Save old sinners today by the goodness of God. Help our church to revive it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want us to look, if we may, this morning for a little while at verse number 7, where the Bible said, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." And if God will help me, I want to preach for a little while today on the thought out of the very first part of that verse on the manifestations of Christ's love. That is how He reveals His love to us. You know, Jesus did not just say that He loved us and then did nothing about it. But I'm glad that He is a man of His Word. The Bible said that God loved the world, and in doing so, He gave Himself for it, that through Him and by Him, we might be saved by the good grace of God. Now, in this text, it says there, "Thou art to all fair." Now, notice that phrase, "Thou art to all fair." He has used that term or that phrase in a couple other occasions in this particular book. In chapter 1, I think verses 15 and 16, Solomon used the words there, "Thou art fair, my love, thou art fair." And again, here in chapter number 4 and verse 1, he uses that statement again, "Thou art fair, my love." But when we come to verse 7, it's not just that "thou art fair, my love." It's "thou art all fair, my love." In other words, everything about you is fair. Everything concerning you I love. There is no spot in thee. Now the Lord mentioned several particular parts of His bride that stood out in His mind, that He saw special interest in, that seemed to be beautiful to Him. But just in case He left out anything or felt as though He might offend you and I, when He come to verse 7, He said, "Thou art all fair." Not only your eyes within your locks, not only your hair like a flock of goats and your teeth like a flock of sheep, and not only your lips and your temples and your neck and your breast, but He said everything about you is fair. I'm glad He can say that. I'm telling you, you look at me this morning, some of you probably think old Brother Hall is full of weaknesses and full of, may I say, even sin and wrong, and I'd have to say that you're justified in saying that. But my friend, when we're looked upon through the eyes of the Lamb of God, He has declared us to be justified, and He has the privilege and the God-given right to say, "Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee." Somebody said, "Preacher, how can that be?" Friend, we have been justified by His righteousness. We have been washed in His blood. We have been sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And it's God that has done the work on you and I. I'm glad, thank God, this morning that He's given us the assurance that we're all fair. And my friend, that there is no spot in us this morning. You know what Pilate said about Jesus? Pilate said, "I find no fault in Him." May I say to you, my friend, through the eyes of the dove of God, the darling Lamb of God, He is also saying, "I find no fault in you." How could He find fault in us? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For Him to find fault in us would be for Him to find fault in what He's doing. It's God's work upon you and I, friend, that brought us out of the dust and shaped and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, saved us by the grace of God. And it's the hands of God that's on us this morning that's shaping us and molded us into the image of the Son of God. And for Him, my friend, to say that there's a fault in us would be for God Almighty to find fault in that which He's done. May I say to you, He looked up on all of His creation and said, it's good. It's good. And friend, He's looking up on His second creation this morning in us and saying, it's good. It's good. There is no spot in thee. In fact, they're all fair, my love. But notice how He uses that little word, my love. Now that's a real statement. He uses that to give us assurance that His affections are still set upon us. That we are the apple of His eye. He has espoused us as a chaste virgin to Himself. He's not interested in none other. He takes interest in the church, in His bride, those that He has bathed in His blood. Amen to God, filled with the Holy Ghost. Set in His building, in His body. Amen. As it pleased Almighty God. My friend, God wants you to know this morning that He is still in love with you. That it makes no difference what valley you're walking in. Amen. It makes no difference how discouraged you are. It makes no difference, my friend, how cold-hearted you might be. The fact that you've went away from Him, God Almighty, my friend, still loves you this morning. Hallelujah to God. And in God's eyes, you are all fair. But aren't you glad this morning that He's just not somebody like a man as we are that would just run His mouth? You know, so often we do that, don't we? We run our mouth so many times, and we have great swelling words. I mean, we can talk great swelling words, but the majority of the time, we don't have the ability to back up near what we're talking about. Nor do we really have the grace in our hearts to back up what we're talking about. For instance, we might say, well, I love old brother so-and-so. Or I love sister so-and-so. But friend, the proof's in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. I mean, do we really love? If we love them, we'll take some kind of action about it. Whoa, love demands action. Somebody said, I love my wife. Have you showed her that? Have you proved to her that you love her? Huh? One thing to whisper in a lady's ear to get what you want. It's another thing to whisper in her ear and back it up with doing something about it. Huh? Do you love Him for what you want and what you can get out of it? Or do you love Him for what He is? Holy and pure and righteous. Redeeming the souls of men by His power and grace. And He has loved you and I just simply because He loves us this morning. Hallelujah. I'm glad He backed up what He said. God so loved the world. Because He loved, He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me ask you, hey, thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. Now, and I want to say this. That's not why He loved you this morning. He loved you when you were full of spots. Oh, in fact, He loved us when we were leprous this morning with sin. Even while we were yet sinners, my friend, Christ died for the ungodly. And as far as I know, a sinner is somebody that is full of leprous spots, my friend. But while we were even full of spots, yes, sir, He loved us. How much more shall He love us
when there is no spot within thee. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, how'd that happen? He has washed us through and through. Hallelujah to God. And bathed us in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. Son, I'll tell you, He took out something Ajax couldn't get to. Amen. Amen. He made us whiter than what bleach could ever do, buddy. You know that ring around the collar, lady, you can't seem to get out of your husband's white shirt? Well, I'm going to tell you, there ain't no ring around our collar this morning. There is no spot. Somebody said, I'll whisk it out. I'll shout it out. I'll bleach it out. I'm going to tell you how He got the spots out. Son, with the precious blood, as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Amen to God in the day. There is no spot in you and I. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. I'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. I want to know, where did He manifest that love? Thou art all fair, my love. Now, He told her He loved her. But I think He backed it up. Amen. And by the way, He's still backing it up. Amen. Yes, it is. Amen. Amen. He's still backing it up, friend. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Manifestations of His love. Wherein has it been made known? How has His love come to light? That's what it means to be made manifest, to be brought to light. Amen. How did He bring His love to light? How did He give His love understanding? How can you and I comprehend the love of God? Amen. May I say to you this morning that He manifested in the cross upon which He died. Blessed be His wonderful name. Son, He not only said that He loved me, but He proved it this morning. Because He laid His life down and He had the power, my friend, that He might take it up again. You want to see the love of God? Look yonder to some 2,000 years ago to a place called Mount Calvary. An old rugged cross upon which the Prince of Glory died. There, my friend, His body, a bloody mess, hanging as your sacrifice and your substitute. Oh yes, taking your place and your wrath and your sin. It was upon the cross that Christ, the lover of our soul, a manifest toward fallen man, of the very love of God that He had for us. Are you listening? I say upon the cross. What, at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Somebody said, preacher, I'm tired of hearing about the cross every time you preach. Get born again and it'll change, my friend. Hallelujah to God. I'm about to get like old B.R. Lakin, son. I'm going to preach the cross because sinners must be born again. And it is by the foolishness of the preaching of the cross that sinners are saved. By the grace of God. You want to see love? Look at death. No greater love hath a man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There's love, my friend. Look at the cross. See Him hanging there this morning, bleeding, suffering, rejected and dying in your place. Huh? At the cross. You know what the Bible said about the cross? He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Surely you've read Numbers 21 and how that Israel, my friend, while wandering in the wilderness, how God sent fiery serpents in the midst of them and began to bite them and they began to die. Somebody said, what's that got to do with us, preacher? Because every sinner, my friend, has been bitten by the fiery serpent of sin. A sin has set its fangs deep within our soul. And venom, sin's venom, my friend, has been sent into the blood, a stream of every fallen man. Oh yes, we've all have been bitten by the fiery serpent.
God told Moses, said, you make a brazen serpent brass, the type of judgment.
Yes.
Said, you put it on a pole and said, whenever any man or woman is bitten by the serpent, if they'll look, my friend, if they'll look to the brazen serpent on a pole, they shall be saved. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that that brazen serpent represented sin being judged, my friend. And it was on the cross where the Prince of Glory died. That He loved you and I so much, my friend, that sin was judged in Him. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, preacher, we'll be judged for sin, whether we lost or saved, somewhere out yonder in eternity. Son, I'm telling you, that's a lie right out of the devil's mouth. Our works, my friend, shall be judged. Oh, yes, and lost men at the white throne judgment shall be judged. But, friend, no man will ever stand before God in judgment of their salvation after this life is over. For sin was judged upon the cross where the Prince of Glory died. I'm glad, thank God, that He that knew no sin was made to be sin for you and I. It was there that sin was judged. Brother Ricky, not only was it judged, it got whooped. It didn't just get whipped, it got whooped, buddy. Amen. Yes, sir. Whooped by the gospel. Whooped by the Son of God. Just like Brother Doug said in Sunday school. Old John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad, thank God, that sin was judged. And it's been taken away. Hallelujah to God. It's been far removed from every sinner that'll come unto God by Him. Sin has been far removed from us. Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. That's right, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And I'm going to tell you, Nicodemus didn't understand that, and neither does a lot of you in here this morning. You don't understand that. How that Jesus being lifted up, draw all men unto me, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. They'll be drawn. Amen. They'll be drawn, friend. One way or the other, they'll be drawn. Those that receive will enter into life, but those that reject will spend an eternity in the realm of death, into the fired walls of the damned without God and without hope. So I say this morning, come ye would come. Buy without money and without price. Oh, come drink this morning. Milk and honey, my friend. Come unto me, said all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come now, my friend, and let us reason together, said John. Oh, today is the day of salvation. So behold, come to Him while there is yet light. Get in that light and walk in that light and live in that light that you might have life for all eternity. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Now, three things about the cross. Now I'm trying to hurry. Amen. If I take too long, we'll just preach again and go home. Amen. Talking about the cross where He proved His love. Thou art all fair, my love. And I proved it to you yonder on the cross. But what about that cross? What about the bearing of the cross? I'm talking about the load that He carried. Old Brother John said in John chapter 19, verse 17, and He bearing His own cross. Somebody said they compelled Simon to carry it. That's all they done was compelled him, friend. John said, I got a vantage point. Listen what John said in John chapter 19, verse 17. He said, and He, bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha,
where they crucified him. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying they might have compelled Simon the chariot. But Jesus said, that cross is mine, friend, from the foundation of the world. I'm glad, I'm about ready to go on out. Hallelujah to God. Brother Jerry, he said, that cross is my cross from the foundation of the world. I'm here to tell you, friend, nobody else could bear that cross. It was he I specially designed. Oh yeah, custom made. Nobody else would fit on that cross. But the Son of God, son, it was his. And he told Simon, I've got one for you to carry. But Simon, this one is mine. Let me carry my own. And he carried it. Hallelujah to God. All the way. For the Bible said he carried it to a place called Golgotha, where they crucified him. That term simply means, friend, that he carried her till he was crucified on it. He carried it till the breath was gone and life, his body hang limpless and lifeless on the cross. Are you listening? He loved you and done that. He proved his love. What a load. And by the way, I may add that every step of the way he was carrying your sin and my sin. Not only ours, but as Paul said, the sins of the whole world. What a load. Now I want to ask you something this morning. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Oh, if he proved his love to us by bearing his cross, how much more should you and I take up our cross daily and come after him? Hallelujah to God, son. Somebody said, preacher, I'm just discouraged. I'm about worn out. Well, praise God. Amen. Get back to Calvary and get revitalized, revived, refreshed, rejuvenated, re-empowered. Hallelujah to God. Pick her up and go on carrying her one more time. You ain't the only one that has problems. You think you're in it all by yourself? That's all asked me this morning. Said, you feel better today than you did yesterday? I said, you want me to tell you how I felt yesterday? I felt like in my mind, I'd try to sit down and think, couldn't even think. It'd just wander off. It's getting that way. Are you listening to me? I sat upstairs this morning, tried to pray, tried to get ready. Just seemed like it wasn't nothing there to get ready with. Seemed like she was all gone. Miss Hall said, I bet you'll be a ball of fire this morning. Praise God, I ain't dead yet. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what's it taking place? I've done got back to Calvary this morning, son, and caught a glimpse of the Prince of Glory, and laying his life down on an old rugged cross, and I might go to heaven one of these days. Hallelujah. Got new blood in me, buddy, new fire. Amen. The bearing of the cross. What about the blood of the cross? I'm going to tell you something, these pictures that you see in everybody's house, it shows Jesus hanging up there with a little trickle of blood around his head and a little bit on his hands and feet. Don't you believe that? You think the cross was pretty to look at? The cross is an instrument of death, friend. I've read about where they electrocuted inmates with electricity and blow dry eyeballs out of their socket. I read where in Florida they executed one and blood squirted out of his nose. They give try to make death pretty by giving him a lethal injection. May I say to you, friend, death is death and death is an ugly thing. And but much more, how much more the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen what Paul wrote about him in Colossians 1:21. He said, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Hallelujah to God. Brother Mark, when he went up Calvary's hill and laid his life down on that cross, I believe that his head and his hair was saturated with blood. And his beard was no doubt saturated, my friend, with blood where they plucked the hair from his face. I believe his shoulders in his back and entrails, my friend, and around in his breast, was soaked and saturated with blood. Oh, yes, sir, and his legs and his hips. and his toes, or his arms and his hands saturated with blood. How could it not have been? He sweat great drops of blood in the garden. Can you imagine looking upon dried blood as he stood before Pilate? I said dried blood on his body as he stood before Pilate. And how much more going to the Roman whipping post and being beaten with a cat of nine tails, crowned with a thorn, with a crown of thorn, nails in his hands and his feet. And yet he went on carrying the cross that he might make peace between us and God.
Are you listening?
Amen. Huh? The blood of the cross. And it took that blood to make peace.
Amen.
That he might reconcile sinners to God. Oh yes. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God.
Amen.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, friend, that you was at enmity with God. You considered God your enemy. That's why you run from Him. That's why sinners are running from Him today. That's why some of you in here this morning is yet lost and on your way to hell. You are running away from Him and running toward your sin. You'd rather have sin than you would to have Jesus this morning. Amen! You'd rather have your little flinging fire. Amen! Some of you folks in here would rather have your day out on the town and your night out with the gals and the dolls and the guys than you would to have God. You would rather have your sin today than you would to have Jesus. Folks would rather have a cigarette than they would have God. I'd hate to think I couldn't give up something that long for eternity, buddy.
Amen.
God have mercy on you, friend.
Amen.
Ain't going to give up the boob tube. Ain't going to give all that stuff up, preacher. Ain't going to give up my country music. You know, I like old Garbage Brooks. I like Dolly Parton. She's got big breasts. I like to look at her on MTV. Amen! That's why some of you men can't give up a television. It ain't that you like the flicks and the films, son, and the stories. You like to look at the whores and the heifers. Amen. That the devil sets on that thing in front of you. That's what your problem is. You like to look at naked women. Naked men. That's why you can't give her up. I learned, Brother Steve, just a few days ago that a man that I went to Bible college with and worked at Addison Corporation for about a year with, he's pastored a church since then. He has been an associate pastor of a church since then. Oh, yes, and been a faithful man. But he caught himself sitting up late at night, surfing the net and looking at naked women. And it was story. Oh, yes. And if I told you who told me, everybody in here know who told me, but I ain't going to tell you. So I ain't no need to ask you. Amen. But this man sat up late at night watching a bunch of whores and heifers on the internet and wound up, God's friend, chasing his adult girls. I'm talking about 17, 18, 19-year-old girls all around through the house late at night, friend, behind the old perverted egg-sucking devil, or to be took out and hanged by his toes until he repents of his sin. I'm here to tell you, men watch that garbage because they want to see naked women and naked men. But I'm telling you the results of it, friend. It'll lead you down a broad way. It'll bring you to destruction, defeat and destruction, and ultimately lead you into the jaws of death and the gate of hell where there is no escape from it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
I'm about to get some problems with the internet.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
That's why folks don't give that stuff up, son. Sin.
Amen.
You're an enemy of God. You don't want God. But Christ and the blood of His cross reconciled us to God, slew the enmity that was between us, and made us both one. Hallelujah to God. I want to say three, and I'm trying to hurry. Not only the bearing of the cross and the blood of the cross, but what about the branding of the cross?
What do you mean the branding of the cross? I'm going to tell you what I mean by had a fellow in the Bible by the name of Thomas met in the upper room 8 days after Jesus had been there and told his other disciples, said, "Except I see the print of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the print of the nails, I will not believe." And son, I'm telling you, the next day Jesus appeared in their midst, said, "Look here, Thomas, stick your finger, behold the prints of the nails in my hand, and put your fingers in the print of the nails, and thrust your fist, Thomas, into my side, and be not faithless, but believe." And old Thomas cried out, "My Lord and my God." Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying the cross, my friend, left its marks on the Lord, person of the Lord Jesus. And friend, He'll bear those marks throughout all eternity. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when His feet ascends back upon the Mount of Olives, those that pierced Him will look upon those wounds and say, "Where did you receive those wounds?" He'll say, "In the house of my friends." Hallelujah to God. He's got the marks of the old rugged cross. Oh yes, Brother Jay. He's got the marks on that blessed holy brother that became our sin bearer, our substitute. He's got the branding marks of the nails and the wounds upon Him yet today. Are you listening? No wonder Brother Paul said, "Let no man bother me, trouble me. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." I'm going to tell you something, friend. Now you get what I'm getting ready to tell you. If our God had marks in His sanctified, holy, precious, sinless body, if the old rugged cross left its marks upon Him, and we are, as saved children, crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, yet not us, but Christ liveth in us, I'm going to tell you how much more should you and I bear in our body the same marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I think verse number 8 or 9, he said, always bearing in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Son, you got any marks on you today? Anybody know you've been crucified? Anybody know you've been crucified? Somebody said, "No, preacher, I keep all my marks covered up." Isn't it a marvelous thing, Brother Doug, that the marks that the Bible talks about was on the head, it's not always covered. The marks the Bible talked about was in the hand, not always covered. Marks the Bible talked about was in the feet, and not always covered. I'm here to tell you, you can't cover it up, son. If you've been to Calvary, it'll break out on you like measles. Hallelujah to God. You have to let somebody know that the Redeemer liveth, and that you've been to Calvary, and been saved, and washed in the blood of the darling Lamb of God. And that, thanks be unto God, I've got a few marks on my body today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You got any marks on you? The cross left some marks, friend.
Amen.
It'll mark us too. Branded. He was branded.
Amen.
I want to say, secondly, not only did He prove His love by the cross upon which He died, but He proved the love. He proved His love by the cleansing of our soul.
Amen.
Do you know how filthy and nasty you are?
Yes.
Know how corrupt you were before you met Him?
Amen.
Most people don't. They think they were good, wonderful people.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't really so bad. Whoa, I wasn't really. That's right. You're right, brother. You're right, Brother Andy. Oh, I wasn't really so bad. I'm a pretty good sort of a fella. Now, be careful over there, boys. Let's not get too rambunctious. Amen. I don't want nobody to knock the end off the view like Mike Jacob done that day. Pray God it might do good. Somebody would kick a few ends off of them.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
You see, our problem, we just don't really realize how filthy and nasty and corrupt we really are. You know, He identified our sin as a leper. Do you know a leper couldn't even come around the camp? They had to wear a veil over their face and cry, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" They couldn't even come around the people. They had to have a camp, a place outside the camp of Israel. Filthy. Standing afar off. That's where we were as Gentiles, Brother Steve, standing afar. But by the blood! Well, we've now been made nigh. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Do we know how vile and corrupt we really are? You know what Brother Isaiah said? Brother Isaiah said, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses, every ounce of everything you do to make yourself righteous is as filthy rags. We're in a mixed congregation, and I will not tell you what the term filthy rags mean in this congregation. But if any of you men want to know after the service, I'll be more than glad to tell you what Isaiah was referring to. You're like a filthy, nasty rag that ought to be wrapped up and thrown in the garbage. Yes, those filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. Pretty temporal, ain't we? And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Brother, I'm telling you, don't sound like a very pretty thing. Oh, but now you're washed. Now you're clean.
Amen.
Now you're justified. Amen. Now you're all fair, my love. Amen. Now there is no spot in thee. There you was as a unclean vessel, a wicked, corrupt, and vile, filthy rag. But now you're washed.
Amen.
Now you're clean. What a God.
Yes.
The cleansing. Amen. You ain't going to leave me now, or you ain't quite done. He proved His love by His cleansing
Amen.
Of us. I want to say, number one, He cleansed our conscience.
Amen.
Now, I hope some of you good Baptists, and especially some of you good Armenians, get a hold of this now.
Amen.
I'm not reading from a Sears Roebuck catalog. This is the Bible.
Amen.
Hebrews 8, 13 and 14. For if by the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, can I tell you what that means? That means that, Brother Ben there, he come marching down to the tabernacle of the congregation and said, Aaron, said, here's my sacrifice. Aaron laid his head on that hand on the head of that sacrifice and said, this is your sin being laid upon the sacrifice. And he cut the goat's throat or the sheep's goat, took the blood, sprinkled it, put the blood in the basin, took the goat or the sheep, put it on the altar, and offered that as a sacrifice for old Benny's sins. Took the blood in, sprinkled it, my friend, once a year upon the altar in an atonement for Benny's sins. But you know what happened? Next year, here comes old Benny walking right back down. Well, Benny, what are you doing here this year? Well, I come to make a sacrifice for my sins. Well, I just sacrificed for you last year. Yeah, I know it, but I've got to bring the Bible. The Lord said I had to bring it every year. That you had to go in there every year and offer the blood for the sacrifice of my sin.
Amen.
And every year, Benny's reminded that he's a sinner. Every year, he's reminded that he's a sinner. Every year, he's still a sinner. But I'm going to tell you, this man, this great high priest, who was after the order of Melchizedek, oh, he entered in one time with his own blood. Oh, yes, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah to God. Now, I'm going to tell you what it does. He said it purged your conscience from a dead works. Somebody said, preacher, are you reminded of your sin? Oh, not by the Lord Jesus. You see, don't nobody leave me now. Listen. It was God Almighty that reminded them every year of their sin. But He'll never remind you if you're truly saved. I'm about ready to run through the wall now, buddy. He'll never remind you if you're truly saved of your sin. I'm going to tell you who will. Old Slewfoot will. He'll remind you. But I'm going to tell you what He's done, Miss Kim. He has purged our conscience. Oh, the guilt is gone. Hallelujah to God. Oh, the condemnation is gone.
Oh, the load of sin is gone. Are you listening? Gone, 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 Robert. Gone. Gone, gone. Yeah. The guilt is gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every year old Benny brought that goat and said, I'm a guilty sinner. But you don't have to bring that goat no more. Hallelujah to God. For the Lamb without spot and without blemish has been offered for our sins.
Amen.
It has cleansed our conscience. No more guilt. No more condemnation. Now, I'm telling you, if you truly know you're saved, and I'm not trying to tell nobody you're saved, but if you really know you're saved, and the next time something in your mind says you know you're a sinner, tell the devil to go on to hell where he belongs.
Amen.
That's right. And you can tell him that Jesus told him to do that. Huh? He said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And if he don't even remember them, how is he going to bring them up against you? Are you listening? I want to say he purged our conscience. Hallelujah to God. Cleansed our conscience. I want to say he cleansed our conversation. Woo! Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, it said in Revelation 7:14, these are they which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Not the conscience, but the conversation. Do you know how you get your robes? You know how you get your robes dirty? Coming in contact, friend.
That's right.
They've made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb made it possible. But I'm going to tell you, folks, where you get your robes, how you keep your robes clean. Here's how you keep your robes clean. Where's an offering plate? Praise God. Something I'm putting my feet in. I'm going to tell you, get your robes clean. Put your feet down in Jesus' wash basin. Well, not me, Lord. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me, friend. For you're clean every way with. I'm going to tell you what it is. Hey, we got a conversation, son. We got a life to live in this world. And there's still some uncleanness in this world. But I'm going to tell you, if you come to the labor every day. Hallelujah to God. Luke's there, but ain't no shoes on, son. Hey, don't want to pull my socks off. Got the ugliest toenails you ever looked at in your life. Amen to God. But aren't you glad, son, that we've got a labor? Somebody said, preacher, why are you talking about a labor? I'm talking about the King James, son, 1611 Bible, that you can come to. Amen to God. And wash every day. Our conversation, our life is polluted every day by this world. But he's even cleansed that. Now, I don't have time to do this, but if you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22, he said, our bodies have been washed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Somebody said, what are you getting at, old man? I'm going to tell you what I'm getting at, son. But this old body right here, my friend, this old body has even been sprinkled, washed in the water of the Word of God. And it's been bathed in the blood of the Lamb. You see, when God put us in that blood, He put everything in there. Body, soul, spirit, and plunged it. But when He brought it out, friend, this old body still had to rub shoulders with the world. But He said, don't worry about that. I've made provision for it. He said, I have even cleansed your conversation. And I'm telling you, I look at my old body sometimes. Sometimes I get ill. I asked Miss Hall last night. I said, honey, I'm going to ask you something. I want you to tell me the truth. I said, does my mood change? A doctor down there has been asking me about my mood. She said, sometimes you're rough to live with. I said, praise God, I might be rough to live with, but Jesus is taking care of this old body. Hallelujah to God.
Some of these days the trumpet's going to sound. I'm going to tell you the third and the last way. I just got 3 points. The third way that He's proved His love. Thou art fair, my love. He's cleansed us. There's no spot in thee. Not in your conscience and not in your conversation. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. I'm going to tell you the third way. And I like this. I don't know what you think about it, but I like it. Not only by the cross upon which He died and the cleansing of our soul, but He proved His love by His companionship toward us.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that we've got a companion in this life?
Amen. Huh?
Will you listen just for a minute? I'm glad we've got a companion in this life. Somebody we can talk to.
Amen.
Somebody that's never too busy.
Amen.
To sit down and talk with us. And by the way, He never leaves us.
Amen.
Now, He's proved His love by taking up His abode within us, church. And He'll never leave us, never forsake us. Somebody said, "Preacher, what kind of a companionship?" And I just wrote two. It'd be a plenty in this message. I find in Him the companionship of a father.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, every boy ought to have a daddy.
Amen.
Everybody ought to have a father. Benny and I went out there at that old piece of land yesterday and put up some signs, some no hunting signs on it yesterday morning early. And coming back, we started to pull up a road, and Benny looked over at me and said, "We've been buddies a long time, ain't we, Pop?" I said, "A long time, Benny." I want him, Brother Mark, to know he's got a father.
Amen.
Huh? That'll be his companion. No matter how old I get or how old he gets, I want us to be buddies and companions in this life, friend. Everybody ought to have a daddy to give him good counsel and instruction. Sometimes just to put his arm around him, you know, and say, "Son, I know what you're going through." That's what he does. "Son, I know what you're going through." Somebody said, "How do you know he's our father?" You know, when Mary went to him in the garden, he said, "Don't touch me, Mary." He said, "I've not yet ascended back to my father." But he said, "Go tell my disciples, get this now, that I ascend to my father and to your father. And to my God and to your God." You know what he's saying? He's saying, now that the Son has been recognized, revealed as a Son, now I can reveal Him as a Father.
Amen.
He's a Father to the homeless.
Amen.
He sets the solitary in families. Isn't it a wonderful,
Amen.
Wonderful thing to have a Father, my friend?
Amen.
May I say secondly and very briefly, His companionship is a friend. Just a friend.
Amen.
Proverbs 18:24 said, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly."
Amen.
And I'm glad he has showed himself friendly.
Amen.
"For no greater love hath a man than this, than a man lay down his life
Amen.
For his friends." "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly."
Amen.
Get this now. "And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother."
Amen.
Sticketh closer. Just rubbing shoulders. You can go through life rubbing shoulders with Jesus every day
Amen.
As your companion.
Amen.
What a friend. The Bible said Abraham was called a friend of God.
Amen.
Jesus told us that "No longer do I call you servants, but friends."
Amen.
Boy, I'm going to tell you something. That may not do nothing to you, but that does. You know what a friend is? A friend is someone that knows your faults and still loves you. Proverbs 17:17 said, "A friend loveth when you're doing real good." A friend loveth at all times. I'd be a poor friend to some of you in here if when you're doing real good, I put my arm around you and told you I loved you. And then when you got down and out, till you know, I didn't care for you no more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A friend, or maybe when you fell into a little sin, That'd be a better definition, when you fell into a little sin. See, some of y'all probably think if you got a television said, "I hate you," I don't hate you. I love you. If you smoke a cigarette, I love you. I would to God you'd quit them, but I love you. Because I know these things about you does not change my love for you one bit. I love you. And somebody, how can you and I be anything less? He knows everything there is to know about us. And He still says, "I love you. You're all fair. There is no spot in thee." What a companion. What a friend. What a father. Somebody said, "Preacher, how can he be this?" Hey, you know Judas Iscariot betrayed him? Went to the chief priest and betrayed him. And when Judas come to him in the garden, Jesus said, "Friend,
yes, sir.
Wherefore comest thou?"
Amen.
Judas had done... And by the way, friends, Judas was a devil from the beginning. Judas betrayed him. He was a thief. And yet Jesus called him a friend. A friend loveth at all times. A friend sticketh closer than a brother. Get this, and I'm closing. When Jesus comes back and His feet touch the Mount of Olives, is going to be in Jerusalem, and that's where they rejected Him and crucified Him. Get this now. Zechariah 13:6 said, "And one of them shall say unto Him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then He shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." They killed Him. They mistreated Him. And yet, He said, they're still my friends. I still love them. What a companion, friend. He's a companion today. How did He prove His love? "Behold, thou art fair. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." And He proved that love by the cross, the cleansing, and His companionship. Let's stand together, please.